Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Court is now open. You may be seated.
Commonwealth versus Reed. Counsel had asked to see you before the jury came over, Your Honor.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
So what is it you wanted to see me about, Mr. Brennan? I was handed clips 12A and 16.
I think it's 12 and 12A that you should have.
Oh, okay.
You have 12 from yesterday? You have 12 from yesterday, 12A is in addition. This is regarding the evidentiary issue of Jen McCabe's phone call to John O'Keefe when she was giving directions and she identified the location by pointing out Bella's mom's house.
Okay.
I believe that those two clips will have statements of the defendant, which will establish the predicate for allowing in that statement by Ms. McCabe, and then I expect to play those clips after Ms. McCabe's testimony concludes.
All right, what do you say, Mr. Jackson?
That does not cure the hearsay aspect. I understand Mr. Brennan's argument about the relevance to his case of what Ms. Reed said and her statements. That's obviously, this was a admission of the party opponent in the defendant's statement. That does not do anything to cure the hearsay that was being asked or requested by this witness to address the statements that it was sought yesterday. Hearsay is hearsay. If you want to get the clips in, do so. I hope the connection to that, as long as they were in context, and if they passed the relevancy test, but it doesn't cure the hearsay issue.
So Ms. McCabe testified, my notes, for whatever it's worth, said, at the end of the day, one of the things she testified to was the defendant on the morning when they were driving over to Fairview saying, could John be cheating on her? Could he be with Bella's mom?
Yes.
So that's in evidence. You want more than that? What do you expect the testimony to be?
I expect if allowed to testify, Mrs. McCabe would testify that she had a phone call with John O'Keefe before John O'Keefe and the defendant arrived at Fairview. And then John O'Keefe and the defendant were lost. And in giving directions, she offered to John O'Keefe, which was heard by the defendant, the house is near Bella's mom's house. That is evidence of motive.
All right, just that she said, yeah, I'm going to allow that.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Yesterday, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought Mr. Brennan was trying to get in the nature of the relationship between Bella and John, which would be hearsay. I have no problem with this offer of proof.
Yeah, it's a little bit different than yesterday.
Okay.
All right. And I understand the loop you'll make eventually, but correct. This is all you intend to get through Ms. McCabe now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I don't think from what I heard, she knows of that relationship at that time.
Okay.
So I don't think I should ask that.
Okay.
Just that she was giving directions and positive.
Yep, that's fine. That's fine. And then those clips can come in.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. So we'll bring the jurors over.
The only thing I would ask is that the clips not be played with Ms. McCabe on the stand.
Agreed.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring the jurors over. Do you need me to take a recess? Okay. Why not? Yes. Yes.
You are...
Hey. All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Caroni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
All right, good morning again, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors.
Good morning.
We appreciate you being prompt and ready to go this morning. It was something I needed to discuss with the lawyers to help streamline the evidence that will be presented to you today. So I appreciate your patience. I do have to ask you those questions. Were you all able to follow my instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday? Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow my instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no or shook their heads. Thank you very much. Could we have Ms. McKay back, please?
Follow me, please. Mr. Cave, I'll remind you, you're still under oath. Thank you.
May I proceed?
Good morning, Ms. McCabe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before you take us back to Fairview Road, I want to ask you a couple questions about John's house at Meadows. Are you familiar with his house?
Yes.
Have you seen the front of his house before?
Yes, I have.
Are you familiar with his driveway?
Yes.
Are you familiar with whether there's any surveillance system at Mr. O'Keefe's house?
Yes.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. McCabe, I'm showing you what has been previously marked as Exhibit 6. Do you recognize that photo?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
That's John O'Keefe's house.
Could we provide Exhibit 6 to the jury, please? On that screen, is that Mr. O'Keefe's home?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked as Exhibit 8. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what is it?
That is the side of Mr. O'Keefe's house, the two garage doors.
Is there any indication of surveillance?
Is this a Ring camera right here? Looks.
Is that what John O'Keefe's side of his house looks like?
Yes.
I want to show you Exhibit 10. Do you recognize what's in that photo?
Yes.
What is it?
It is the driveway at John O'Keefe's.
You see a car to the left?
Yes.
Do you know whose car that is?
Yes, that's Miss Reed's.
Is that where you left it the night before? For those early morning hours when you drove to Mr. O'Keefe's house?
Yes.
I want to show you it's been marked as Exhibit 11. Do you recognize what's in that photo?
Yes, Miss Reed's vehicle.
Is that the vehicle that Miss Reed showed you with the broken missing taillight that morning?
Yes, it is.
You mentioned earlier in the night you spoke to John O'Keefe when you called him or he called you about directions to Fairview Road.
Yes.
And you also shared that you had a phone conversation offering directions?
Yes, I did.
Did you tell John that the house at Fairview was near Bella's mom's house?
Objection.
Sustained as to form, Mr. Brennan.
Okay. What did you tell John as far as directions to Fairview? How did you mark it for him?
I told him to go by, past Bella's house, the Bella's street, and then to follow it down to the end.
Now I want you to take us back where we were yesterday when we left off. You had brought us to Fairview Road. You had found John.
Yes.
You shared with us that you were trying chest compressions. Before the chest compressions, did you make a phone call?
I called 911.
Your Honor, I'd like to move to introduce a copy of that 911 call.
Okay. Do you have something physically to...
Thank you. Ms. McLaughlin does.
Thank you.
Exhibit 45.
Thank you.
With the court's permission, I'd like to play Exhibit 45.
Yes.
No, this is for a lot of money.
Yes, I'm going to tell them from the third floor, Ken. Third floor, Fairview Road, we can't map the baby and cast out in the snow.
Ken, hold on, because you're the Ken, please tell them. You connected to know, okay?
Yeah, but the line's
at the end. It's at the town's best deadline.
I think he's going to be like 39 by area 15, okay?
I'm a trend set line, I'm a trend set camp.
Okay. I know. Oh, you're in the market. I don't
think
you like the parents. 911,
what's your emergency?
I need someone to come immediately to 34th Fairview Road, Camden Map.
What's going on?
There's a guy unresponsive in the snow.
In the snow, 34th?
Yes, 34th, the Albert resident, yeah. I just pulled up behind him.
Okay, 34th Fairview?
34th Fairview, Camden Map, yeah.
911, that's not your building, where's your emergency?
I don't know, I don't know.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you come to 34th Fairview Road in Houston?
34th Fairview?
Yes, there's a man unresponsive in the snow.
Okay. And the what else?
He's got to get here, okay?
Okay. What's going on? Is he face down?
We just tripped him over.
Okay. And who's that in the background? Is that someone related?
Girlfriend,
John McKeith. Okay, how old is he?
John is 46 years old.
46? How long has he been outside?
I don't know. I don't know. He got out of the car and
is he
a couple of hours. Is he carrying? Is he? I don't. I don't know if he's breathing. There are two women trying to take him to his body and they're hysterical.
Okay, can you just try to ask him? I know it's tough, but we have to get the side camera going and they just got to know.
Okay. Is he breathing, you guys? It doesn't seem to be breathing.
Okay, do they want to do CPR? Do they want to attempt CPR?
Yes, can you guys do CPR? No, I guess he's gone.
Okay, they don't feel comfortable doing so?
No, I think he's passed away.
Okay. All right, we have the fire department and the police department on the way. If everyone's applying CPR, then I'll hang up with you, and if anything changes, you can give us a call back. Where are you guys upside?
I'm afraid of my sister. I know, I'm on the phone with the injuries. I know. Kerry, you gotta get off of me. Kerry, you gotta get off of him.
Do you know if there's any alcohol or drugs involved?
He's been out.
Okay, is there any bleeding or anything? Maybe in his head?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's bleeding in the face.
Okay, bleeding from the face. All right.
Yes.
And how big's the pool of blood if there is any?
Something's coming out of the nose, and one of the women is doing CPR.
Okay, one of them is doing CPR?
Yes, we're working on him.
All right, if she wants CPR, just give us a call back. I mean, someone's your sponsor, right? But we're on the way.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. McCabe, describe your mental state when you were speaking to 911.
I guess the best way to describe it was I was in shock. My heart was racing. I was trying to be as helpful as I could and get the information to the most important information out as quick as I could to the 911 operators. But also the scene there with Karen and Kerry was a bit chaotic between the two of them. So I was just trying my best to be as calm as I could, to get help there as fast as I could, and to answer their questions the best that I could.
Before you told the 911 operator John O'Keefe's name and his age, you said there's a man in the snow. Do you know why you chose those words?
I think I just wanted to get out the most specific details. So a man in the snow versus, you know, John O'Keefe and into a story. I think I just was get the details to them as fast as possible to get help there to him as fast as possible.
When you told the 911 operator that your friend John O'Keefe was the person lying in the snow, how did you know his age?
We used to joke because he was a couple months older than me. So I would, you know, say, oh, you're older than me. It was a silly little thing between friends.
When you called the 911 operator, had Kerry and the defendant already been around or near John?
Yes.
Do you know if they had begun trying CPR before you called 911?
I'm not sure if they had, because Karen had straddled him and was lifted her shirt, was warming him up, and then Kerry was yelling at her to get off. And I think when Kerry got the blankets and was trying to put him under John, I think as she started to move him and wipe him, blood started to come out. And then Karen was afraid that he was going to choke on his blood and wanted to move him on his side, but then Kerry was yelling at her, we can't move him. And this was kind of all going on while I was talking to 911.
You described what you saw, and you said at some point he was bleeding from the face area. Was that before or after he was moved?
After.
Before he was moved, did you see any active bleeding?
No.
After you call 911, what do you do next?
I think I called my sister and she didn't answer. And then as I think I called her as I was walking over to John and she didn't answer. And then I immediately got down on the ground and Kerry Roberts asked me to take over.
How long did you try to help John for?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
How long were you and the defendant and Ms. Roberts there before someone else arrived?
Police officer was the first to arrive. In the moments, it seemed like a long time, but I think it was fairly quick that they arrived.
Any point during the time when you tried to help Mr. O'Keefe and the first police officer arrived, at any point did you see any signs of life from Mr. O'Keefe?
No.
When the police officer first arrived, do you remember what happened next?
I remember it was very chaotic, but there was talk about a spotlight. And I think I got up and ran to kind of wave the, to get the police officer's attention so he could see where we were.
And then what happened?
The police officer, I'm not sure specific, I do remember him asking, about John. I think he said, is he a drug user? He was just asking some basic questions.
And what's the environment? What's going on around you?
Karen's just running around crazy, like just yelling, screaming, kind of like a ping pong.
What are you trying to do?
I was just trying to talk to the officer. I guess I just went into this like type of mode of, all right, I have to just talk to him, get the information out, figure out like how we can best help John and like what happened to him and try to save him ultimately.
And what happens next?
More officers begin to come, fire an EMT. So the scene becomes active with a lot of different presence. You know, John, I think they lift John onto a board at one point. The officers are asking us questions. Karen's kind of coming over, talking to the questions, and then kind of just running away, and then she just runs back over. She's doing a lot of screaming, a lot of repetitive, is he dead, is he dead, is he dead? You know, could I have hit him? Did I hit him? Carrie's off kind of making phone calls, I believe, to John's family.
Do you know what time the first responders lifted John from the ground and put him on that bed?
I don't know a time, but it was...
Okay, that's the only question.
Okay.
You heard your 911 call. Do you know the time of that 911 call?
Not off the top of my head, no.
At some point, did you talk to a number of different people at the scene?
Yes.
And who were you talking to?
The first officer was Officer Sarif. I know I spoke with him. I spoke with an Officer Lank, an Officer Good. There were other officers. I don't remember their names. There were EMTs. I don't remember their names either.
You have lived in this area for a long time?
Yes.
You're active in the community?
Yes.
Did you know Sergeant Good from before that night?
I knew of him. I didn't know him personally.
Did you know Detective Lank?
Yes, I knew him.
How did you know him?
We were friendly.
Your children ever associate with each other?
Not until recently.
After you had a chance to speak to some of the officers, did you move around at all yourself?
Yes, the officers would talk to us here and then a little bit over to the side. I tried to comfort Miss Reed. At one point, Miss Reed was very upset, and one of the officers thought it would be best if maybe she went and just sat in one of the cruisers for a little bit, because she was just doing a lot of screaming and yelling, and I think they were just trying to, you know, get, you know, work on John and make the scene a little less chaotic. So I went into the back of the car with her, and Carrie Roberts came over, and then we all... We're just sat in the back of the, Karen and I kind of were scrunched and sitting in the back, and Carrie was at the door of the cruiser.
Why did you get in the car with the defendant?
She was crying. She asked me to get in. We held hands. We prayed. She did have blood on her hands, and she said, could I have gotten my period? Who's going to take care of the kids? She just kind of was all over the place. And then at one point, we saw them moving John towards the ambulance. And at that point, Miss Reed started yelling to Miss Roberts, go check on him. Are they working on him? Is he dead? Is he dead? And at that point, myself and Miss Reed got out of the car. And she started yelling and pulling on me to Google hypothermia and Google how long it takes for somebody, you know, to die in the cold.
When the defendant first asked you to Google an inquiry about hypothermia, were you still inside the police cruiser or were you outside?
Outside.
What was the weather? I know it's an obvious question, but how cold was it?
It was very cold, windy. The snow was blowing. As I stated, I have multiple sclerosis. So when I'm out in either extremely hot or cold temperatures, I lose the feeling and sensation in my fingers, which obviously made the Googling very hard for me to do because of my, you know, motor skills.
So when you were outside of the car with the defendant and she had asked you to do a search regarding hypothermia, did you try to do that?
Yes, I did.
Do you know the exact time from your memory? Not from reading or learning, but from your memory. Do you remember the exact time you did that?
No.
Was it after the police came that morning?
Yes.
Had you ever attempted to search about hypothermia any time before that moment that morning?
No.
Or that day?
No.
That week?
No.
Was this the first time that morning after the defendant asked you to search that you searched that phrase?
Yes, it was.
And did you complete your search and get a result?
So I think, I don't know what came up because I think as I entered it, I think I misspelled things. And so then I think I tried a second search. And again, I don't think I even paid attention to what came up because we were already on to the next thing. Karen was already moving and screaming about, you know, the next thing to Kerry. Are they working on him? Is he dead?
Did the defendant move somewhere from the point when she first asked you to try to Google about hypothermia to something else?
She was next to me and then I think she took off. Like she kept kind of running off.
And what did you do?
I believe as they were putting, I think I stood there, I believe as they were putting John into the ambulance, I went back kind of where, to the original spot where we had been talking to the police. And at that point, a new officer might have come because I remember talking to multiple officers there.
At some point, did you go back towards the area of Ms. Roberts' car?
Yes, that's where I'm referring to, sorry.
At some point, were you with the defendant when she spoke to an officer and a first responder?
Yes.
Do you remember if the first responder was a man or a woman?
I remember there was a woman right next to us, yes.
Do you remember if that was before or after the defendant asked you to search about hypothermia?
I'd be guessing if I then don't.
Don't guess.
Mm-hmm.
When the defendant was speaking to the first responder, the woman, were you near?
Yes.
Did you hear or do you remember the defendant saying anything to the first responder?
Yes.
What did she say?
She told the first responder, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
When she told the first responder, I hit him, how did you react?
I was like startled, kind of like, what are you saying? What are you talking about?
Did you say anything to the defendant?
I think after the second or third time she was saying it, I was like, Karen, like, what are you saying?
Why were you trying to interrupt her?
Because I thought she was just talking crazy, and I'm saying, why is she saying she hit him?
Were you trying to look out for her?
Yeah.
Sustained. I'll strike it. You can ask it differently.
What was your motivation for trying to interrupt the defendant making the statements to the first responder?
Karen was hysterical, irrational, kind of...
I'll move on.
Okay, I'm going to see counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
After you made the search at the defendant's request for an inquiry regarding hypothermia, did you have a chance to speak to the officers further?
Yes.
Did they ask you to do anything or go anywhere?
Yes. Officer Lank asked me to go into my sister's house and to wake them up.
And your sister's name again?
My sister, Nicole.
And that is the house you were in the night before?
Yes.
And after you spoke to the officer, they requested you go in to speak to your sister, did you?
Yes.
Was there any directive on what you should speak to your sister about?
No.
After the officers asked you to go into the house, did you?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember what door you went through?
Yes, I went through the front door.
Was the door locked?
Yes.
How did you get in?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, was it unlocked?
No, I asked if it was locked.
Oh, sorry. It was unlocked.
As you're approaching the house, were there any lights on?
No.
Was it dark?
Yes.
Any sign of any movement inside the house before you went in?
No.
Take us through walking through the front door. What happens?
So I went in the front door. I opened the door. I walked up the stairs into their hallway, and then I knocked on their door.
Bedroom door?
Their bedroom door. And then I opened the door. I went in, and I walked over to the bed, and I was like, Brian, Nicole. Because I was in a position where I felt like the world was going on around me, so much was happening, but I also was aware that I was just about to wake up two people that are sound asleep, and they're going to see me standing over their bed and be startled, wondering, what am I doing here?
So what happens?
So it took a minute or two, and then Brian woke up, and he immediately was, like, startled and was like, Jennifer, what's going on? What are you doing? And then I believe I tried the best I could to say what was going on. I think I said, we found John.
You don't need to describe again, but I want to know their reaction and your interaction with your sister and Brian Albert.
They woke up startled and confused.
Did you have a conversation with them?
Yes.
How long was that conversation?
Brief. They got up, got dressed. I spoke to them.
And where did you go and where did they go?
Then all three of us went down the stairs.
The upstairs to the downstairs?
Upstairs to downstairs, yes.
And upstairs is the second level, is downstairs the first level?
Yes.
As you come down the stairs, can you see the front door?
Yes.
Is there anybody in the house at that point?
I saw Officer Lank.
In the house?
Yes.
Do you know if he had been invited in?
I have no idea.
When you came down the stairs and saw Officer Lank, where was your sister and Brian Albert?
They were walking with me down the stairs.
And did you see whether or not the officer spoke with your sister and your brother?
He did, yes.
Were you there during that conversation?
No.
How long was that conversation, do you know?
Not sure.
Where did you go when the officer was speaking to your sister and your brother-in-law inside their home?
I was standing at the front doorway, and then my husband, Matt, had just arrived.
What happened next?
I started talking to Matt, and almost immediately, Officer Lang came, got Matt, and asked if he could talk to him outside.
Okay. At this point, I want to go back and show you some video. Have you seen video in this case before?
Yes.
I'd like to ask the court's permission to display Exhibit 4, and I would like to walk through some of the video.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if you'd kindly put on Exhibit 4. I'd like to start at 6:09:57. Ms. Gilman, if you can take us to the arrival at Fairview. Could you stop there, please? Ms. McCabe, do you recognize this scene?
Yes.
Is that that morning?
Yes.
The car directly in front of this dash cam, do you know whose vehicle that is?
Kerry Roberts.
On the left, we see somebody with a blue parka or jacket. Do you know who that is?
I believe that's me.
Can you continue to play, please? Can you stop there, please? Does that fairly depict your first interaction with law enforcement?
Yes.
Do you see the flagpole in that video?
Yes.
And is that the area where you found John?
Yes.
I'd like to move forward in the video if we can move forward to 6:14:45, please. Could you stop there? Can you identify people on that video from right to left, if you can?
I don't know the officer. That's myself. I believe behind me, that's Miss Reed.
And this is about, well, let me get the time correctly, pardon me. 6:14:47. And do you know where John is at this point?
Are they lifting him to the left?
Okay. Could you continue, please, Ms. Gilman? Could you stop there? The person all the way to the left near the flagpole, do you know who that is?
I believe Kerry Roberts.
And is that the area where John was found?
Yes.
And that's at 6:15 a.m.? If you don't know, that's okay. Do you know what Ms. Roberts was doing at 6:15 a.m.?
My guess is
I don't want you to guess. Just if you know.
I don't know.
Okay. Now, you're over to the right. Is that you?
Yes.
Okay. Continue, please. Is that Kerry on the left?
Yes.
Stop, please. On the right, do you see yourself?
Yes.
And which person are you?
I'm the one next to the one with the fluorescent yellow.
Is your back to us?
Yes.
To the right in yellow. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
Continue, please. Continue. Stop, please. Do you see the defendant move from the right to the left?
Yes.
Do you see the yellow jacket?
Yes.
Do you know whether or not that's the woman first responder?
I believe so, yes.
Do you know why the officer moved the defendant over to from right to left?
I don't.
Okay, continue, please. Stop. At that part, is there a conversation between the defendant and the first responder?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Continue. Stop. Do you see the officer that was with you in the group?
Yes.
Do you see him now turned away from the group speaking to somebody else?
I do.
Continue, please. Thank you. If you could move ahead to 619, please. Is that you, Ms. McCabe and Ms. Roberts?
Yes.
Is that Ms. Roberts?
Yes.
Stop for a moment. Do you know at which point you went to the officer's car and sat in the back with Ms. Reed?
I believe it's right after this.
Can you continue, please? Is that Ms. Roberts?
Yes.
Okay. Stop, please. Was it before or after that moment that you sat with the defendant and Ms. Roberts stood outside the car and you prayed?
I'm not exactly sure from okay. That video.
That's fine. If we could move forward to 62340, please. At this time, are you still with the defendant behind this car in some spot?
Yes, I am.
Is it during this time, 623 and 624, you tried to make those searches at the defendant's request?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if you can move forward to 626-15. Pause, please. Ms. McCabe, do you see anybody returning to Ms. Roberts' car in that area?
Yes.
And who did you see?
I saw myself, and I'm standing outside of the car speaking to Officer Lank. I saw Kerry go up and near her car. I'm not sure if she went into it. And I saw someone walk Ms. Reed into the car.
Is it around this time you have a conversation with Mr. Lank?
Yes.
And what does he tell you again around this time?
He's at this point, I think, asking me questions about what had happened. And then soon after, he asks me to go into my sister's house.
Ms. Gilman, if you can fast forward to 6:34:15, please. Stop, please. You described that the house had no lights on. Is that a fair depiction of,
yes,
of the view?
Yes.
Do you see a figure walking up the driveway?
Not on this pause clip, but I did see it, yes.
Let's play it and see if you can identify.
Yes, I can see myself walking up.
Where are you now?
I'm walking up the path to go up to the stairs into the house.
And this is at the request of Officer Lank?
Yes.
And you described first you went in and woke up your sister and brother-in-law?
Yes.
Could we move forward to 6:39, please? Stop. And do you see something happen with the house at that point?
Yes.
Okay. And what happens?
A light went on.
I'll note it's 6:39:08. Thank you, Ms. Gilman. After first responders took John and you had gone in your sister's house, what did you do next?
Next, after Officer Lank spoke to my husband, Kerry Roberts, her and I had a conversation. She was going to go pick up John's parents in Braintree. At first, I had told her I would go with her, but then Officer Lank said that I needed to, one of us had to stay at Fairview to speak to the I believe it was the state troopers that would be coming.
Did you stay at Fairview?
I did, yes.
What was your mental state at that point?
Again, I was in shock. The best way I can describe it is the feeling of I'm present and everything's going on around me and I'm just trying to process and make sense of everything.
Did you speak to your sister about what happened?
Yes.
Did you speak to your brother-in-law about what happened?
Yes.
And were they giving you any comfort or support?
Yes, they were being very comforting and supportive.
As you were waiting at Fairview, did anybody else come to the house?
Well, my husband, Matt, had arrived. A little while later, Julie Albert had arrived. She was dropping something off, and then Brian Sr. called her in.
Is Julie Albert the wife of Chris Albert?
Yes, she is.
And Brian Albert and Chris Albert are brothers?
Correct.
When she arrived, did you talk to her?
Yes.
Were you in a group? Were you talking to people privately?
No, we were all sitting around the kitchen table.
And why were you talking to everybody?
We were trying to figure out what had happened. They were trying to be supportive, trying to help me.
What was your mood?
I was extremely concerned. I was calling Kerry, trying to get updates about John. I was worried about John, his family, about Kaylee.
At that point, did you know whether John was going to live?
I had a very strong, I think deep down I knew that John was gone. But, you know, this until you hear it, I think there was that little bit of hope, maybe.
Did you speak to anybody but Kerry, who was not at the home that morning?
I believe I spoke, yeah, Miss Reed.
You had a conversation?
Yes, I spoke to her when she was in the ambulance.
Did you speak to her again later that day?
No, I think I texted her asking her for Kerry's number because I didn't have it.
Did you hear back?
No.
Did you ever speak to Miss Reed again?
No, I've never spoken to her again.
When you were trying to get information from Kerry and you were in Fairview, did anybody else other than the people you've described arrive at Fairview?
Chris Albert. Oh, Brian Higgins showed up and Chris Albert.
Did you know Brian Higgins?
I knew him as a friend of Brian's.
Did you see him at the waterfall that night before?
Yes, I did.
And after you arrived at Fairview that night, after leaving the waterfall, was Brian Higgins one of the people there?
Yes.
And did you talk about what had happened in front of Brian Higgins as well?
Yes.
Was there a group discussion?
I wouldn't say discussion. I would just say, like, for instance, someone would ask me a question because everybody just, this didn't make sense to anybody. No one knew what had happened.
Agreed.
So just move on.
And so was there a lot of questions about what you saw and heard?
Yes.
You mentioned earlier that you felt like you were in a state of shock. Did you feel like you were still in that state, or were things changing mentally?
Little by little, as I sat there, I started, things started coming back to me that had been said to me earlier.
Did something significant come back to you about what happened earlier, what you heard?
Yes.
And what is that?
When Miss Reed stated to myself and the female, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
Okay. And did anything else over the course of that morning come back to you about that moment?
Throughout, when I was still at Fairview or throughout the day?
Still at Fairview.
I believe that was maybe the main thing. I can't be sure what time what memories came back.
When you remembered the defendant's statements to the first responder, did you decide to do something with that information?
Yes. Officer Lank had said if I, you know, remembered anything or needed anything before the state, you know, the state police came to give him a call.
And did you?
I did, yes.
And you knew Officer Lank?
I did, yes.
Were you comfortable calling him?
Yes, I was.
Did you tell him the information that you had remembered?
I just asked him to come back to Fairview.
Did he?
He did, yes.
When he came back, did you speak to him?
Yes, I did.
Were you with the group or were you alone?
No, I was with the group.
And did you tell him what you had remembered?
I did, yes.
How long did you stay at Fairview for?
I believe somewhere between 11:30. I'm being approximate with my times. Officer Proctor called me from the state police.
Do you know how he got your number?
No.
Did you have a discussion with him?
He said he would like to come by and question me, and I'm not sure if he said at your house or if I said I need to go home because I had four kids at home that was still sleeping, and you know, I knew that I had to go home to them and eventually break this, you know, news to them and comfort them, and I knew that was going to be a whole nother situation to deal with.
Did you speak to him on the phone before you went home or after?
A quick phone call. I'll see you at my house.
Okay. At that point, did you share any information with him?
No, not on the phone.
Did you return home?
I did, yes.
Do you remember about what time that was?
I'm going to say 11:30 or after, approximate.
Is that a general?
General, yeah.
Okay. When you got back home, did you have a meeting or speak with Mr. Proctor?
I did, yes.
Was it a phone call or an in-person conversation?
He came into my house with Officer Buchanek.
Okay, him and Trooper Buchanek came
yes.
in?
Yes.
Was there anybody else at your home?
My husband was home, and my brother-in-law, Brian Albert, came over.
Did you speak to them?
Yes.
Did you tell them any additional information at that point?
The troopers or?
The troopers.
Yes, I know I had said what Karen had said to me, and then she had said I hit him. Could I have hit him? I told them how she showed up at my house. I just basically gave them the events of that morning.
At that point, did you mention anything about the defendant's broken taillight?
At that conversation, no.
Did they leave?
They did leave, yes.
At some point, did they reach out to you again, or did you reach out to them?
At some point, I had another conversation with them a few hours later. I'm not sure if they called me or if I called them.
Do you know what generally the content of that conversation was?
Yes, I had remembered that Karen had told me about her taillight.
As you're processing that morning, are you trying to think and recreate the event, or are you trying to put it out of your mind?
I couldn't get it out of my mind.
While you were at home, did you receive any updates from anybody, Carrie Roberts or anybody, about John?
Yes. When I was still at the Alberts, Carrie had given me word that, John had passed. Then once I got home, I know different friends who were starting to hear.
Without content, were you receiving contacts, calls, text
yes.
messages from other people?
Yes.
And were you reaching back out to other people?
Some, yes.
At some point, did you go over to Meadows Road?
On Sunday, I did, yes.
Was Sunday the next day?
Yes, it was.
Why did you go over to Meadows?
Carrie and I went over with my daughter and her daughter to see the family and to offer support. Sympathy.
You said you and Carrie. How did you get there?
Carrie picked me up.
Prior to that evening, you and Carrie, you described, weren't friends or familiar?
Correct.
Were things changing?
Yes, rapidly.
When she picked you up, who else did she pick up with you?
My daughter, who was Kaylee's friend.
And was anybody else, were any of Miss Roberts' family in the car?
Yes, her daughter was in the car as well.
So it was you, Miss Roberts, and your two daughters?
Yes.
You said you went to Meadows.
Yes.
Why did you go there?
To offer our condolences, sympathy, support, to be with the family. I love them.
Were they staying at Meadows?
They were at Meadows, yes.
When you went there that next day, can you describe the traffic and the people that were there?
There was a house full. Family, friends, coworkers, loved ones. The car repairman, like anyone and everyone.
Did you ever see the defendant?
No.
While you're at the house, did you have a chance to speak to Miss O'Keefe?
Yes, I did.
At some point that day, did you leave the house?
Yes.
Who did you leave with?
Carrie and. My daughter stayed to be with Kaylee, and we left with her daughter.
Where did you go?
We were heading home, but then we ended up dropping off her daughter at her friend's house.
Now, who's her daughter? Don't give me a name. Carrie's daughter?
Carrie's daughter, yes.
And was Carrie's daughter friends with any of the Lanks?
Yes, Carrie's daughter's good friends with Mike Lank's daughter.
When Miss Roberts drove over to Mr. and Mrs. Lank's house. Did you meet anybody?
Yes. Her daughter, Carrie's daughter, went in the house, and Mrs. Lank came out. Her and Carrie are very good friends, so she came out to offer support and condolences.
Was it still cold outside?
Yes, it was freezing.
When she was offering her support, was she inside or outside of the car?
She jumped into the back seat.
During that time you spent with Officer Lank's wife, did you ever go into the house?
I have a faint memory. I think I went in and used the bathroom at one point.
Okay. When you were having the conversation with Mr. Lank's wife, were you talking about what had happened?
Yes, Carrie was just explaining the morning, the phone calls, the scene, things like that.
Okay. Were you trying to get any type of inside information or push the investigation in any particular direction?
No, I didn't speak much. It was mostly Carrie and Trish was just being a supportive friend to Carrie.
At some point, did you get together with Ms. Roberts and try to memorialize what you had saw or thought that morning?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Peg had asked Carrie to do a timeline, so Carrie came over and we were sitting down talking about it, and so my sister was there and she said that she would jot it down for us.
And so when you got together, it was at the request of Mrs. O'Keefe?
Yes.
When she made that request of you, asked you to do that, did you question why?
No, I just, she wanted us to do it, so I did it.
Why?
She wanted us to remember and try to jot down everything we remembered so we wouldn't forget.
So I'm going to sustain this question. Sure, it's disregard that stuff.
Did you speak to officers further in the future?
Yes.
Can you count how many times you spoke with police or the interviews you had?
There were a lot, or a good amount, I should say.
At some point, did any of the police officers ask if they could take your phone and copy everything on it?
Yes.
Did you have any hesitation about that?
Objection.
Ask a different thing.
Were you cooperative?
Yes.
Why?
I wanted to help in any way I could.
May I approach?
Yes.
Handing you a piece of paper, do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
That's my signature.
Do you know what that document is?
Yes, it's the consent form that I signed from my phone.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins insulin.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.